I'm Alec Pope. I'm talking today with Elder Jack N. Gerard. Elder Gerard was sustained as a General Authority 70 on March 31st, 2018. He received a Bachelor of Arts degree in Political Science and a Juris Doctor degree, both from George Washington University. During his career, he worked as a president and CEO for several entities. Elder Gerard, thanks for being with me today.
Well, thank you. It's good to be with you.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Elder Gerard is here talking with me today about his devotional address, Abide the Day. You talk about truth, following the Holy Ghost, avoiding deception. To get started, just tell us what led you to choose this topic.
Well, it's a fascinating topic, a topic I think that's very relevant in our day and our time, and particularly with your student body here. You as the rising generation have been foreordained to come to the earth for a wise and glorious purpose. And yet the adversary is very clever in the way he intends to deceive or to distract us from the things of greatest worth. So as I pondered this, I felt strongly that this whole concept of what we call deep fake, which is the ability to take someone's image or their voice and get it to say or do anything you want it to with or without permission of the individual. And so in that context, there's great longer-term doctrinal spiritual lessons to learn. How do we avoid deception of this life to stay on the covenant path? So as I prepared this, I felt very strongly and felt impressed that this would not only be a very important topic for BYU-Idaho students, but for the world more generally as we learn to live in this ever-changing environment driven heavily by technological advancements.
Now, deceptions, you give a very specific example there, but what do you think some of the most significant deceptions that we face as Latter-day Saints are?
Well, as Latter-day Saints, I think the thing we need to be most cautious of or mindful of is what I call the subtle deceptions. Nephi counsels us that we need to be real careful that we don't get lulled away into carnal security. He talks about how the adversary will pacify some and make them feel like all is well in Zion, yea, Zion prosperous. But then we're warned that we should not be at ease in Zion. So when you look at an environment like BYU-Idaho, a wonderful institution, what a great opportunity for your higher learning, we need to be mindful that we can't be complacent. We can't take our covenants too casually. Yet in an environment where we live in a culture that's heavily supported by the doctrine and by our faith, that we need to remember the adversary is very quick. He is subtle to drag us slowly, step by step, away from that which matters most. So when we think of the direction of our prophets, seers, and revelators today, President Nelson has been very clear that we need to learn to receive revelation. As the world changes, as the adversary becomes more and more sophisticated and subtle, we've got to be able to detect those subtleties, to discern right from wrong, truth from error. And technology today will literally allow us to live in an alternative reality. But as Jacob teaches in the Book of Mormon, the Holy Ghost lieth not, but teaches us truth, things as they really are and really will be. We learn in the temple what things will really be, as opposed to perhaps alternative deceptions and realities that we might experience here in mortality.
So you talk about deceptions, and you mentioned there revelation, and then also following exactly the words of the prophet, and these two things, among, of course, many other things that will help us to avoid deception. Can you expound upon your idea, listening exactly to the entire words of the prophets?
Yeah, that's another thing I felt strongly about is sometimes I know I'm particularly guilty of it in my own life as I listen. We tend to grab the piece that becomes the headline, and too often we simplify down the words of the prophet to one or two kind of checkbox items, if you will. It reminds me a little bit of the children of Israel. Don't confuse me with the details sometimes. Just tell me exactly what you want me to do. But if you listen closely to President Nelson, for example, he invited us through the Worldwide Youth Devotional to take a fast from social media. And many people thought, well, I can abstain for 7 days, so I'm done. I've listened to the prophet. I've followed him. But if you read closely and study what he said, the fast from social media is a precursor to learn other things about yourself and to receive other impressions that we need to work on, that we need to change. So when he said, take a fast from social media, not only to the youth and their devotional, to the sisters in the women's conference. In the sisters' conference, he went so far as to say, identify those things that have been wounding your spirit. Now, when I hear those words, it's much bigger than just a fast. It's a recognition when we get away from that distraction, the social media distraction, what is the Holy Ghost telling us? What is the Lord teaching us through living prophets? And I believe that we will change our habits and patterns as it relates to social media if we listen completely and closely to what President Nelson says. He's inviting us to set aside the distraction, to focus more closely and specifically on what it is we can change so we don't get lulled away into carnal security, so we don't fall prey to the subtle deceptions of this mortal life that would distract us from eternal life, the things of greatest worth.
Well, I really like that. I think that I definitely, like looking at myself, I think it's easy to do that, to think, as you're mentioning with the words of the prophets, to be a little bit narrow-minded about it and just think that, you know, this is the crux of what he said and maybe this is the easiest to measure. And so it's easiest to say, as you said, like a checklist, and to say, I'm doing this, instead of understanding a little bit the bigger picture. I love the idea. And you talk about the listening completely, that concept. Now, you also discussed the principle of personal revelation, which you just mentioned. Help us understand a little bit, how does that principle of revelation tie into this?
Yeah, in the context of what President Nelson has taught us in his, since being set apart as the prophet, in his first address in the Sunday morning session, he talked about revelation, revelation for our time, revelation for our lives. And if you read that closely, you'll see that he talks about the world in which we live. And if we're going to be able to see through those deceptions, those that would seek to attack truth in this life, we must learn to receive revelation, is what he said. So to me, the context and the relevance of that principle associated with what we talk about deception is, let's just take, for example, the concept of a deep fake, which I talked about, which is the ability to really distort truth completely, to create a false narrative or a false image or a voice, if you will, that's entirely different than what was intended or what the truth was. If we're going to be able to see through that deception, we've got to learn to follow the Holy Ghost. We've got to make the Holy Ghost truly a constant companion in our lives. And as we do this, we will be able to discern right from wrong, truth from error. As the world struggles with what is reality, what is right, what is wrong, we hear way too often from my perspective today, who's right, who's wrong, who's fake, who isn't. So it's very relevant to us. How do we step above that, see our mortal experience for what it is, and say, how do I navigate, stay on the covenant path, prepare to return to the God who gave us life, our Father, the Father of our spirits, and the tool to be able to discern and to stay true and faithful is revelation. It's listening to the still small voice who will teach us all things, who will bring all things to our remembrance. But we've got to be mindful of it. We need to fine-tune our relationship. We need to be able to discern a prompting, an impression, a feeling to the heart of warmth and peace, but also to discern that which is not right, which would cause a stupor of thought, which would perhaps take us in a different direction.
Now, if you would, explain and expound a little bit about the title of your talk, Abide the Day, where that comes from and what that means.
Yes, it's found in the 45th section of the Doctrine and Covenants. And you remember at the time, shortly following the organization of the church, there were those that were creating stories, falsehoods, half-truths, however you want to characterize it. Mm-hmm. And if you read the preface to that section, it summarizes it very quickly. And in there, what happens is, as revealed to the prophet Joseph through the Lord, he reminds them that those who are able to abide the day is the language he uses. But he talks about we need to take the Holy Ghost as our guide. So we listen to the prophets, seers, and revelators as those who are not deceived. He specifically says deceived in that section, in that particular verse. But those who will follow that pattern will be able to abide the day. To me, the day in which we live is that day. And for us to abide it, to be prepared, we've got to follow closely the teachings of the living prophets, seers, and revelators. As the Lord himself has said, whether by my voice or the voice of my servants, it is the same. So as we listen to prophets, seers, and revelators, and we develop even further our ability to listen to the Holy Ghost, we can have clarity in this life that we will truly be able to avoid the deceptions, the distractions of mortality, and abide the day in which we live. To be able to stay true and faithful without deviating is essentially the definition of abide.
Well, thank you very much, Elder Gerard. We're excited to hear you speak.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you, and good luck. You're all very fortunate to live here at this time and to study at a great institution. Thank you very much for having me.